Okay, so I just want to address a question that I've had this question several times before, and I'm sure we'll get this question a lot more in the future as well. So I think it's just worth addressing that people will ask about creation and when God made man, and they'll say, if God is all-knowing, he knew that man was going to sin, he knew that Adam was going to bring sin and death into the world, he knew, you know, kind of the trouble that would come and what man would choose, why did God create man with free will like that to begin with? Like, in other words, if God knew it was coming, why didn't he do something to sort of stop it? And I'll address a question in a second, too, that's really related to that question, because the why didn't God stop it question is a common question, but the funny thing is most pastors would think they're like hard questions to ask, where there's a pretty simple answer, especially for what we'll talk about later. But so just to address that one first, well, if God knew that Adam was going to sin, and again, sin and death then spread through the world and all that, like, why would God have done it that way? If he was going to create man, why did he have to do it that way? Before I even really answer the question as far as like the technicalities of it, let me just address sort of the motive behind why someone would ask that question. Because there's sort of two motives. On one hand, you could just be asking the question. Like, again, I've been asked that question before, even years ago, and probably just out of curiosity. This was a believer that was asking me. And, you know, it's a perfectly fine question. If you don't know something, you can ask a question. But I really believe there are other people that are asking that question because they're sort of skeptics of God. They feel skeptical about God's intentions toward people. They're skeptical of what God's motive would have been, you know. Like, what was he up to if God really knows everything? Then why would he create Adam if he knew Adam was going to sin? And why would he have given Adam free will that way to choose if he already knew he was going to choose wrong? And, like, so there's sort of like a nefarious motive attributed to God, or like a selfish motive attributed to God in some way. You know, regardless of what bad motive it is, people do attribute bad motive to God sometimes with asking a question like that. And so let me just address that motive first. First and foremost, you have to understand, when we say, well, God knew beforehand, and then so why did he create man with this free will if it was going to spread, you know, the sin and death and all the suffering was going to spread due to Adam's choice, you have to understand this first and foremost, that not only did God know that Adam was going to sin, but God, in creating man, knew the suffering that he would have to go through and coming in Christ to reconcile the world back to himself. I believe Jesus suffered more than any person has ever suffered in history, in the whole history of the world. And so if God had this selfish motive, or again, whatever motive you want to attribute to it, whatever skepticism you might have about why did God do that if you know, he knew Adam's choice, you know it wasn't a selfish motive, because selfish people don't do something to their own detriment. And God created man to his own hurt. Now, God still, obviously, I say that to his own hurt because of the amount that he had to suffer to get us, but God actually sees that as a reward. In fact, Jesus said about his suffering that he actually thought his suffering was a small thing. In the book of Hebrews, I think it is, it says that he despised the shame of the cross, which means, to despise it means he thought it was a small thing. And even at the end of the Song of Solomon, the Lord basically refers to himself as having given up all the wealth of his house, referring to what Jesus did at the cross, giving up everything that he had for love. And it says it was utterly despised. God thought it was a small thing to do what he did. So I don't mean to his own hurt, like God didn't see that there was reward in gaining us back. But it still was to his own hurt, because God didn't gain anything out of creating man. God didn't, in other words, there's nothing that we can offer God from that standpoint. God gave everything to Adam, and even in Christ, in reconciling people back, God gave everything to mankind. So why, if God was doing it for some selfish motive, it just doesn't make sense with the cross, because God also knew, not just that Adam would sin, but God knew that he would have to send his son, and in Christ, that Christ would suffer more than anyone has ever suffered before, taking on himself the iniquity of us all, the sin of us all at the cross, and being judged and condemned and crushed by the Father at the cross. I don't understand, why would a selfish person do that? The Bible actually even says that scarcely for a righteous person would somebody die, let alone Christ having died for us while we were still sinners. Why would a selfish person die and suffer excruciating pain for people that didn't even care about him? Because Jesus died for everybody, even people that don't care about him. He died while we were yet sinners, the Bible says in, I'm trying to Let's see where that verse is. That's Romans 5. Romans 5, 7 and 8. And so a selfish person does not give up his life in excruciating pain for someone that doesn't care about him. What is there to gain on God's end from us? While we have everything to gain from him, God already has perfect everything. And so the selfish motive thing just does not make sense with the cross. Selfish people don't make decisions to their own detriment. Selfish people make decisions for their own advantage. And yet God knew, as he was creating man, as he was forming man from the dust of the earth, and even before that, he's forming man, and he knew everything that he was going to have to go through to reconcile us back. And he still went through with creating mankind, believing that it was worth it to him to suffer as much as he did to reconcile us to himself, and he still went through it. So something we can just ask on one hand, the question of, well, if God knew the suffering that Adam would bring on himself in the world, then why would he do it? Why would God go through with it? Well, again, I would ask the same question the other way around and say, well, if God, how could that have been a selfish motive, though, if knowing that Christ was going to have to suffer more than any person has ever suffered and bearing the judgment of God, and God went through it knowing the suffering that he would take on himself. So God had nothing to gain out of this. He only had pain to go through to get us back. And so anyway, so that's on one hand the motive, right? The cross completely excludes the nefarious motive thing, because the cross is actually the demonstration of the love of God. And honestly, if someone comes, and this is the truth for everybody here, if somebody comes, tells you he loves you, dies on a cross for you, and suffers excruciating pain, and his only reward out of this whole thing is you, what is it going to take then for God to prove his love to you? If that doesn't work for you, and for a lot of people it doesn't. They're still looking at creation, they're looking at all these other places, but they're avoiding what? They're avoiding the cross. Because when you talk about God's quote-unquote nefarious motive, the cross probably doesn't come up too much, because it doesn't make sense. Nefarious motive and selfish motive from God does not make sense with the cross. And again, as I just said, I'll just repeat it one more time, that if somebody comes and tells you that he loves you and then dies for you just to gain you back and to reconcile you, even when you didn't care for him and even for people that will never receive him, if that doesn't prove the love of God to you, nothing else will. You will not be won over if you cannot be won over by someone that gives their life just to get you. Nothing else to gain, just to get you. Someone already had perfection in heaven, but left it all and suffered for you, excruciating pain, just to, for his reward to only be you. If you cannot be won over by that, if you want more proof somehow of the love of God, honestly, you'll never get that proof, because that Bible says that God demonstrates his love in that. That's the best proof that you can get for anybody. To understand their love. Again, I don't know what else people want as proof for the love of God, that he is selfless and he just wanted you. So anyway, that's the motivation aspect of this. As far as the question itself, getting into the technicalities of it, there is something that people don't know about God. Even most Christians do not know this about God, yet it's very, very plain, black and white, right in Scripture, and that is that God, it is true God is all-knowing, right? We just brought that up before. God is also all-powerful. But God is not unlimited. And people would get very offended at me saying that. But that the Bible specifically says that God has inabilities. And you say, well, I thought you just said he has all power. He does have all power. There is no limit to the extent of God's power, and there is no limit to the extent of God's knowledge, except for the fact, despite the fact that God is all powerful and all knowing, he is not all characteristics. What do I mean by that? The Bible even says specifically, because you may say, well, where are you getting this God has inability thing? The Bible says it very plainly right here. It's Hebrews 6:18, and it just basically says that it is impossible for God to lie. The word impossible there, you know what that means? It means not able. Literally, in the Greek, it means not able. God is not able to lie. He has an inability to lie. And you may not see where I'm going with this, but just stay with me. He has an inability to lie. God is actually incapable of doing something wrong. That's why he just used the example of lying here. But God actually has an incapability of doing something wrong. He has an incapability of doing any injustice. God is always just. He is good. He is perfect. Every good and every perfect gift comes down from God. He is always good. He is always perfect. And the Bible actually says, if you want another verse that talks about God's inabilities, because again, that one's very plain. Hebrews 6:18 says God is not able to lie. Not that he doesn't choose to lie. Like he could, but he doesn't choose to. God is not able to lie. Furthermore, 2 Timothy 2:13 in the Young's Literal Translation basically says that if we are not steadfast, meaning if we're not faithful to God, He remains steadfast. God remains faithful to us. And why is that? Why does God always remain faithful? He says, because to deny himself, he is not able. God has an inability to be unfaithful. God cannot be unfaithful. It's something he chooses not to be. He cannot be unfaithful. He cannot lie. And specifically here, it says that he is not able to deny himself. What does that mean? It means that God has a certain nature, certain qualities and characteristics about him. God is not all characteristics. You will not find unrighteousness in God. Actually, Paul says in Romans 9:14, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. There is no unrighteousness in God. And there lies his incapabilities. He is incapable of doing unrighteousness, something that is wrong. And because of that, because of God's incapabilities, we think, even when God was creating man, for instance, well, God, why couldn't you have done it a different way? Why didn't you do it a different way? You could have created man so that he couldn't have sinned. You could have created man without a choice. You could have created man this whatever way we want to propose to God. We assume that when God does certain things, that he could have done it a different way, and he could have just chose one way or another. But the truth of the matter is, when God does something, you may feel this answer is sort of a cop-out, but this is a biblical truth. When God does something, he cannot be unjust in his dealings. He has to do the right thing. He is not able to err. He is not able to deny his own nature. He has a certain nature, and he is not able to deny himself. He has to be the way he is. There is no unrighteousness in him. So when God creates man, you automatically, when you know these principles, you know that when God created man that specific way that he created him, you know he did it because it was the good and just way to do it. God giving mankind the freedom to choose for himself was the good, the right, and the moral way to do it. You may have a problem with the fact that God gave man the ability to choose him or not, despite the fact that God told the man which one to choose. But freedoms, especially in this case, freedom to be able to choose or not, was the good and right way, the only moral way for God to create man. You know that because it says that God is not able to be immoral. He is not able to do things. Again, you may disagree with it, but you would just be disagreeing with morality then. Let me give you an example here. We have freedom of speech in this country, and a lot of people would say, oh, I'm for freedom of speech. Maybe you listening right now, I'm for freedom of speech. There are certain freedoms that we agree with, certain freedoms of choice that we agree with. You know, some disagree on certain ones, but there are certain freedoms that people just agree with. I agree that people have the freedom to do whatever, X, Y, or Z. Take freedom of speech. You, listening probably right now, you probably agree with freedom of speech, and yet you know people will abuse it. You know people will make fun of other people. You know that, and yet you still agree with freedom of choice in that area. It's not your fault that someone abuses that freedom, because to give people freedom to speak is a moral thing. That's a good thing and a moral thing. To strip people of the freedom to speak would be immoral. To give people freedom to speak is a moral and right thing. You'd be wrong to vote against freedom of speech. And yet, you know people will abuse it. Are you an advocate for that abuse? Are you an advocate for people making fun of somebody else? Are you an advocate for people having the wrong opinion? Of course not. But it is right to give someone the choice when it comes to certain things, and certain freedoms are right and moral to do. And the fact that someone abuses that is their fault. You can give someone the right to freedom of speech and still advise them, but you shouldn't make fun of people, you shouldn't hurt other people with your words, you shouldn't hurt other people's feelings. So you can advise somebody on how to handle that freedom, but to give them the freedom is right. And again, what you're accusing God, what you very well may be, some people listening to this, may be accusing God of, is the same thing that you do. You give people freedoms. You believe in giving people certain freedoms and certain choices, even if it is to their detriment because they abuse it. You can advise them and tell them how to use the freedom, but certain freedoms are right and moral. And because God cannot be immoral, you know if he created man that way, it was because it was the right way to do it, because he cannot deny his nature of righteousness and justice. He cannot deny that. So that is my answer. And again, I'm not saying there's not more to learn about this, but that is the way that it is as far as God's creating man, etc., to give man the freedom to be able to choose. There are sort of branch off sort of questions that you might have about that, about the devil and stuff, and it is not true that the devil was evil or something when God put this evil figure in the garden or something like that. That is not true. The devil, as much as the devil also has choice, the devil was created as an angel, put in the garden as an angel. He had no defect in him. So there's a lot I could talk about that, but you know, simply the fact that man had a choice. God did not put man in danger Adam was not in danger, but Adam had a choice. Adam was not in danger. God did not put Adam in danger. God gave Adam the truth, but Adam was given a choice. That much is true. That much is true. And because why? Because it was moral to give him that freedom. I heard someone say recently, for that matter, if God wouldn't have given Adam the choice, then, you know, human beings would throw their fists up at God and call him a tyrant for not giving them the choice. So you have a choice. And even people to this day still have a choice as to whether to choose the Lord or whether not to choose him, which sort of leads me into this other question. And so let me just answer this other question about, well, then people also ask, it's sort of tied in some similarities. Well, why did God allow this? Why did God allow that car accident? Why did God allow, you know, this particular tragedy or this, you know, natural disaster to happen in this world? And this also is tied in with the justice of God. Once you know that God is always just and he has to do things the right way, even after Adam sinned and now they're suffering in this world, people will look at the suffering of the world, shake the fist at God, and say, why are you allowing the suffering? Here's actually how it works. Jesus died at the cross. And if you've been around the church for any length of time, I hope you know that Jesus' suffering at the cross was not his own suffering. Jesus went through physical suffering, and this is something you're not going to hear often in the church. Jesus went through actual physical suffering at the cross in order to redeem us from actual, real, physical suffering. Sure, emotional suffering as well, but not limited to that. Jesus didn't just come to die and take physical pain in his physical body just to heal your broken heart. Anything that Jesus wanted to take away from you, he had to take himself. So if he took physical suffering, it was to take it away from you. That's why by his stripes, his wounds, we, in our body, are healed. Because anything that Jesus wanted to take away from you, he had to experience himself. And if he experienced physical suffering at the cross, he was taking it away from you. The thing that is necessary, though, now, because you say, okay, that's great. Jesus suffered for the world, and the world is still suffering. So what's going on here? Because, again, let's hearken back to that justice of God. The only just way, because God is not unjust, he's always just, always moral, he cannot deny himself. He has the inability. God can't just wake up and choose to do something the wrong way. Because he always has to be just. The only just way for God to bless or to save human beings from physical suffering is that they put faith in the price that Jesus paid. Listen, we as people apart from Christ, human beings apart from Christ, do not deserve one lick of the blessing of God. Therefore, if God were to just say, oh, I'm going to snap my fingers, as we think that he can, but God can't just snap his fingers and just save everybody from suffering. Why? Because that would be unjust. Therefore, God has an inability to just snap his fingers and save sinful man. Because if man is sinful, sin deserves death, not life, not salvation. And so sin deserves death. If God wants to get around that and save sinful men and give good things to people that have badness in them through Adam, if he wants to give good things to people that have sin in them, he has to bring in Jesus Christ as a sacrifice to pay the price so that now God can give good things to the world through his son because we don't deserve it ourselves. But here's what's necessary. People need to learn and believe what Jesus has done in order to access what Jesus provided. If you're new to this, that may sound really complicated, but it's really not. Jesus provided everything. Salvation from every form of suffering in this world. Galatians 1:4 says that Jesus came to save us from all the evil that's in this world. Jesus came to overcome everything that's in this world for us, okay? But the only just way for people to receive of that provision that Jesus made at the cross is that they believe and learn what's been done for them at the cross. Even for myself, if I suffer anything, if I go through any pain, any hurt, anything whatsoever, any trouble, any tribulation that I experience and ends up hurting me, that's because of my lack of knowledge of what Jesus provided. Therefore, what do I do? This is why I'm preaching to you right now, because I'm continuing to learn and to grow in the knowledge of Jesus so that I can experience and receive more and more of what Jesus died to give me. The fact that someone gets in a car accident is not due to the fact that God allowed it, but again, because God is just, the only way for that person that got into that car accident to have been redeemed from this world and not experience that car accident is to know Jesus sufficiently to receive that power in their life. Again, you may think that's unfair as well, but the thing is, keep this in mind, God's not the one that put us in this issue. We are in this issue. Of mankind's own making, we are in this issue. And all the suffering that you see going on in this world, as much as people may think they can't help it, every person can make a choice to start getting out of this suffering. You know how you start doing that? You start putting faith in Jesus, learning who he is. As you begin to learn him, the Bible says that in Romans chapter 5, basically, I'm going to paraphrase for you, Jesus provided it. We have access to all these things because of the provision Jesus made, but it's also by faith in him. And actually, you know what the Bible says? It says that that is the only just way for God to save people. It's actually in Romans 3. Romans 3, verse 26. In Romans 3, he starts talking about how God was going to send Jesus. And he said God sent Jesus so that he could demonstrate how righteous he was. Remember, because it would be unrighteous for God to save you apart from Christ. So God sent Jesus to demonstrate how just and how right he is. In other words, I'm not just going to save people because I can't. I'm going to send Jesus. He's the only way for me to be able to save you from your suffering. So he sent Jesus so that he might demonstrate just how just and how right he is. We're going to do this the right way. I'm going to bring my son in to pay the price for you. And it says that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Just for the sake of time, and I'm basically done right here, just for the sake of time, let me just sort of paraphrase that because it's sort of a wordy verse. What he's talking about is when he talks about justifying people, this is talking about saving people essentially, making people righteous and saving them. And this is the only, watch this, and I'm going to end here. The only just way, this is what the verse is saying, the only just way for God to save people is through what Jesus did only for those that put faith in him. The reason why faith in Jesus is necessary and constant belief in Christ and a growing in your knowledge of Jesus is necessary for you to receive is because, again, going back to that justice point, because it's the only just way to do it, and God always has to be just. He can do nothing that is unjust. So whenever you ask, why did this car accident happen? Remember, the suffering of that person in that car accident was taken 2,000 years ago at the cross. The fact that that person needs to grow in their knowledge is just a simple fact that they need to grow in their knowledge. And I'm applying this to myself as well. Anything I go through is because I need to grow in my knowledge of Jesus. But God has already provided it through Jesus, and I need to grow in my knowledge. Why can't God just snap his finger? He's all powerful. Wait. Why can't God just snap his fingers and make all car accidents go away? Isn't he all powerful? He is all powerful, but he's limited because he's always just. He's not all characteristics. He always has to do it the just way. And saving someone from a car accident when they are in sin, in other words, like all people are born into sin, right? I'm not talking about your individual actions. But saving sinful man from a car accident isn't just unless that person puts faith in their mediator, Jesus. That's why faith in Jesus is necessary, because God is always just. That's why man was created the way he was, because God is always just. Everything, when you look at the way that God does something, God has to be just in everything that he does. So when he created man with a choice, because God has to be just. When he wanted to save human beings, he didn't just snap his fingers, even though people think he could have. Why? Because he has to be just. So he had to save people through the sacrifice of his son. And now is asking every person to believe on the name of his son to receive from it. Apart from that, it's not like God has another way up his sleeve, and he could have done it an easier way, but he just decided to send Jesus. No, God is always right, always just, and he had to do the things that we've been talking about today, the way that he has done them. He had to design these things the way that he designed them, because he's always right, he's always just, and there is a right way to do things. Even if we disagree with it, we would just be disagreeing with morality then and with justice. Okay, so again, we may not be familiar with those things, but that is the reason why God does these things the way he does them. It's the right way to do them. And if you want to be redeemed from suffering today, you could start right now. You could start receiving from the Lord right now, but you need to start believing in the Lord, because a lot of these people that are skeptical about the Lord are the very people that don't continue in their knowledge of Jesus or don't know him at all. God has provided it to you, and yet we can be over here and complain all day about the suffering in the world, but guess what? When God already extended a hand to you and extended redemption from this suffering, and you're not willing to get to know it, what are we saying then? We're complaining about something that's our own fault then. We're complaining about a suffering, even though God has extended redemption to us, and we're not willing to grow in our knowledge of it to receive it. So it's we might want to think twice next time before we shake our fists at God and say, hey, wait, maybe I need to know something that I don't know in order to receive from this God that I don't know. Maybe there is something there, because if God proved his love, maybe we shouldn't be so quick to doubt the love of God and to doubt his intentions toward us, because God is nothing but love toward you. Even if you don't care about him for the rest of your life, God is nothing but love toward you, but you need to get to know him in order to receive from him.
If we were able to show you something about Jesus today, subscribe and share this with someone else so we can get this awesome truth out to the world.